All right, and let's see what's going on. Taking a look at Phoenix Kalita's show notes, and apparently she just went on a Becky Lives Matter fest. Like, Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to figure this whole dadgum thing out here. I'll tell you what. And remember, and we recently started doing the cis identity extremist thing. I'd like to do more of that if I can. If I can find the stories. If you can find the stories, link us to them. You can link them to Phoenix Kalita on the Twitters, at Uppity Negress. You can link it directly to our podcast Twitter, The Black Podcast, or at Wine Cellar Meteor. You can find it. Hit us the funk up. We don't have a podcast email yet. I don't know how to set that up on the website. I figure that out. I'll set that up. I've spent like 9 hours on that at one point, and I was just like, I'm not smart enough. All right. And before we jump into these Becky Lives Matter, folks that held it down for the Wine Cellar in the going through this month of March, right? Of course, there's the Patreon subscribers. Fuck yeah! Like, and then just jumping right into it, you know, Aurora Beckett, Benjamin Smith, Keith Sugars holding it the fuck down, right? And I try to check these and see if there's a little note, because these are folks that hit it up on the PayPal, right? From Benjamin, said, enjoy listening to the podcast. Hope things go well. Well, I'll tell you what, I have some spicy macaroni and cheese and some broccoli in that refrigerator for my lunch today at work. And I'll tell you right now, you contributed, and it is useful for me, right? Keith Sugarts said, hi, you guys kick ass. A little money to say thanks. Thank you, Keith. Fuck yeah. And the homie Hope Loco up in the joint. And I don't want to put Hope Loco's all business out there, but Hope Loco is a black lady out of the East Coast, now down in the Southern West Coast, and said, I appreciate both of y'all putting in the work. Thank you, and please keep it up. Thank you. I'll tell you what, that there goes toward, man, we probably got a pack of Top Ramen up off that shit, man. Got some, hell, really, out here, we live in the Midwest, like, what you sent is like 2 packs of chicken before tax. And I be needing my protein, right? You're keeping my muscles strong so I can go to work and bust these shifts at the factory. Stephanie Tuck, Wesley Kocher up in the joint, kicking over. Jeffrey Woodle said, happy anniversary, Jeff W., a.k.a. Dandy Krampus. And so Jeffrey Loco, but that must maybe, I think Jeffrey Loco might know us from the Facebooks. Yeah, because on the Facebooks, it automatically updates every St. Patrick's Day on the Facebooks. It says Phoenix and William have been married for another year, you know, because we got married on St. Patrick's Day on accident. And Lawns for Less down there in Texas. All right. You fucking, and I know we're going into that spring season, going into that summer. Find Lawns for Less and get your lawn done. I know Texas is big, so you might want to find what part. Lawns for Less. Hit us up. Let us know what part of Texas you're in so we can shout that out on the program. All right, and that's the real deal. That is indeedly do, neighbor. And we do indeed have these Becky Lives Matter stories coming at you. And can't forget Alex Andrews and Phoenix Hamilton. I think we pointed them out. Angela Loco Curtis, Margaret Munoz up in the joint. Britton Gadsden, Shauna Eli, The Broken Carpenter regularly interacts on the Twitters. Regularly interacts. I think I'd be retweeting Broken Carpenter shit sometimes. All right, let's get down to the funky stuff. All right, there's a lot of facts coming your way. Again, these are Phoenix Kalita's show notes. We're going to Florida first. We are. Holy shit, almost 5 minutes in, finally getting to a story. I hope folks exercise that fast forward if they don't want to hear the shout outs. all right. In powerful irony, this individual's last name is Bonefield, so we're doing that. That's fine. Whatever. Widen up the screen because I have the glaucoma. So we're in a place called Dunedin, Florida. I've never seen this town name before. D-U-N-E-D-I-N. And it's in Pinellas County. And apparently a woman walked behind a counter yelling, screaming, and punching after employees caught her shoplifting from a beauty supply store, according to law enforcement. Which, again, I gotta wonder, right? So she's shoplifting beauty supplies. Now, just like with the other joint that I recorded recently, well, the same morning, it's all Morning Wine Cellar, it's 3:22 a.m. right now, and where the young lads broke into two houses, and it's like, well, how not awesome were their lives that was a logical decision for them, right? And then, again, like, this is assumed a cis woman, a cis white woman under white patriarchy, and she was trying to steal beauty supplies because maybe is it easier to get hired to a job? Like, I gotta wonder, did she have a job interview coming up? Or you know what? Does she already have a job because sex work is work? Is that the case? We don't know. You know, I'd really like to know more. But we are in white-on-white crime mode. Let's see what's happening. So, shoplifting from a beauty supply store, according to law enforcement. It happened late Monday morning. This article's from March 19th, 2019. Right now it is March 21st. The place is called... excuse me. It's called Silky Beauty Supply in Dunedin, where investigators say she tried to take less than $10 worth of merchandise. And an arrest affidavit says that Tammy Lynn Bonefield, a 45-year-old individual, right? And then there's the the sort of ageism in patriarchy, right? The ageism that comes with the misogyny. She's 45. Cold game. Right? So she it says that she grabbed and punched one employee. Well, maybe that's not the best response to getting caught, but she was in the heat of the moment. Becky Lives Matter. Then she kicked another one after she was confronted. Authorities say she denied stealing anything, but the items were found with her and returned to the store. Tammy Lynn Bonefield was transported to jail in a van with a boy who was less than 16 years old. The child was separated from her by a metal partition. The arrest affidavit claims she made sexual comments to him and exposed her breast and genitals. So this could also, like, this could be teetering on, like, ableism story, sex workers' rights story, patriarchy story, misogyny story. I had another one in my head as I was listing those off, because I do just riff this. Like, read the article, riff off the top. And I'm pretty sure I'm missing one. I think I got ableism in there. Because that could be a foot here. We don't know. And, it says, okay, so made sexual comments to him while exposing her breast and genitals. While her pants were pulled down, she masturbated and asked if he was aroused, according to the affidavit. Tammy Lynn Bonefield was charged with lewd and lascivious, I don't know if I'm saying that word right, lascivious exhibition for the van incident, along with battery and petty theft for the events that led up to it. Last month, Tammy Lynn Bonefield was accused of identifying herself to law enforcement as, quote, black sheep trouble square pants. Whoa. What? Black sheep trouble square pants. Yeah, I'd have trouble thinking that was their real name. At the time, she was charged with providing a false name or identity. And there's a hyperlink to that. Yeah, what is happening here? This is from February 14th, 2019. Okay, unplanned. so again, we're still in Dunedin. And so the sheriff's got a call about a man and a woman walking through Largo backyards, just walking in other people's backyards, Wednesday afternoon on 62nd Street North. When the police fellers asked the woman her name, she told them it was Black Sheep Squarepants. The deputy questioned whether that was her real name, but the woman insisted she had changed it to Black Sheep Trouble Squarepants and said she had a Colorado driver's license with that name. Another deputy, however, arrived on the scene and recognized the woman as Tammy Lynn Bonefield because she had been stopped several days before. Okay. Tammy Lynn Bonefield then admitted to her real name. Bonefield was charged with providing a false name or identity to law enforcement and released on her own recognizance. Okay, whoa. These fucking websites autoplay shit. I wasn't ready for that. You know, and someone left a comment in the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends group. Real exciting in there. We have like 100 members and like 15 of us are active. So, yeah, real exciting in the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends group. But I like it small, you know. I don't want to actually have to moderate. Ugh. And they left a comment saying, Black Sheep Trouble Squarepants is my top band name now. And like, I didn't know what they were talking about. So, okay, that's the name. Alright, let's, okay, and I'm looking at another link in Phoenix Collider's show notes, and it looks like we're going back to Florida once again. Let's see. So this is Hudson, Florida, and the and this outlet, you know how outlets kind of share the news and get info from each other. So local CBS 17 and WFLA. Shaka shaka. A woman was arrested early Tuesday morning after the deputies say she chased a man across six lanes of traffic on a highway in Pasco County while waving a knife at him. Yeah, I'm on board with this. Like, I can't make fun of this. This seems okay. Like, I'd have been like, you know what? If he can't get away, maybe he should have patriarchied faster. Nigga, shit. Stephanie Wykel, a 30-year-old individual. That's ill. I've reached a point where I see that someone's 30 and I'm like, you're 5 years younger than me, punk ass kid. So Stephanie Wykel's 30 years old and was arrested around 3:45 in the a.m. on the U.S. 19 in Hudson. Now, according to the arrest report, the incident happened after Wykel got into an argument with the alleged victim. Yeah, right. Over him possibly cheating on her. Well, okay. Oh. All right. You know what? In Emperor William's world, just run. Run faster. Go ahead. Run faster, boy. Come on. Can't outrun her. You done got it yourself caught. Now, during the argument, the victim started to walk away. Nigga should have ran at that point. At that point, deputies say Wykel grabbed a medium-sized knife from the kitchen and chased the victim. And so, nigga, so he shouldn't have tried to walk. He should have ran. Nigga, you should have known. You were pissing somebody off. And you know what? I bet he is cheating. I know. I'm on the underdog side. And in white patriarchy, the underdog is going to be the white woman, cis assumed in this particular story. Let's take a look here. I'll tell you this. Now, chase the alleged victim, so-called victim. The arrest report says she did it to scare him so he would answer her questions and show her his phone. You know what? These are reasonable reasons. All the shit that white men do to white women, I think the knife is, that's fair. It's not justice for all the shit over all the centuries, but in this one, grab the knife. Deputies say that Wykel then chased the so-called victim across six lanes of traffic on the US 19. Wykel later admitted to deputies that she did wave the knife at the victim to make him afraid of her, according to the arrest report. Wykel was arrested for domestic aggravated assault and taken to the Land O'Lakes Detention Center. All right. And that old buster-ass man, fucking so-called victim, he better fucking get her out. He better bail her out and tell them that he doesn't want to press any charges and that he fucking apologizes for wasting irreplaceable time in the only life she's going to live. She's 30, and he's going to leave and leave her with money for the next 2 months' rent if they should so have it, and just bounce. Yeah. And leave her to find some fucking peace without your mark ass. All right. Let's take a look over here. Phoenix Collider. There is one more. And apparently we're going back to Florida again. This is low-hanging fruit. Phoenix be cheating. Just like, go back to Florida. Fuck it. All right. We'll go ahead and widen this thing on out because I do have the glaucoma. And this one is from March 17th, 2019. Right now it is indeed March 21st. A Florida woman was arrested and taken into custody after reportedly shooting her boyfriend over the volume of his snoring. Well, you know what? Get it together, Grouch. Like, he's aware of his snoring, right? Like, I've snored. I've woken myself up by snoring. Stay woke. So, and I could go find ways to fix that. What, don't drink an adult beverage, before going to bed? Certain eating habits or breathing habits or shit that can be worked on? There's shit that can be done. But I don't fucking do it. You know, so this guy, he could have did it. I'm finding ways to blame men. I know I'm doing that. I got a bit of a misandry streak in me. You know, maybe a bit of misanthropy. More misandry, though. Let's take a look here. So, initially, the Brevard County Sheriff's Office had thought that Lori Morin, a 47-year-old individual, had shot her boyfriend, named by the police as Brett Allgood. That's not his name. Really? Brett Allgood? Oh, he should have got shot for that. All right, they thought that she shot him accidentally, but after speaking to the so-called victim, the police learned that Marin had shot her lover because he was reportedly snoring too loudly. I like that they have an embedded tweet by at narcotic desire _. And they put a link to this story, and they put my hero. Marin had first told the law enforcement officials that the couple had been drinking together and playing the card game Rummy, and that she had set the gun off accidentally while trying to retrieve a heavy box. But Brett Allgood's testimony tells a different story, one of an argument over the victim's loud snoring. An affidavit from the Brevard County Sheriff's Office says that Morin followed the victim to her bedroom, where she pointed a loaded gun at his head. And that's when he heard a loud boom and woke up lying in a pool of blood, with excruciating pain coming from his right armpit area. Brett Allgood was airlifted to the hospital after the incident, according to the affidavit. And Morin was re-interviewed at the Sheriff's County investigation. Then, as law enforcement informed her of Allgood's testimony, Morin tried to change her story. All right, old snoring ass. It was then that she gave a different account of the events. The 47-year-old individual then said that rather than herself trying to retrieve the box, Marin said that her boyfriend had tried to remove the gun from her grasp, and that was when it went off. Okay, Becky Lives Matter, make something up, go for it. That's the funny thing, right? There's a big difference when I cover these stories with Phoenix Collider and we're doing it together as a team. And then we just fucking bullshit around and joke around about the story. So when I'm by myself, I'm just like, yeah, but how can I turn this into propaganda that's anti-patriarchy? Like, yeah, I really get in my head when I'm by myself doing these stories. While when I'm with Phoenix, I'm just hanging out with my friend and engineering. But yeah, when I'm by myself, I get to thinking. Every sentence I'm thinking. All right. And, ooh. Now, this is mildly amusing. It says, she attempted to show emotion by covering her face with her hands and crying, but she never shed a tear the entire time during any of the interviews. Neighbors were reportedly shocked to learn of the development, with Samantha Bobbier, who lives near the couple in Cocoa, Florida, saying she had learned of the attack on the news. Robert Mason, another neighbor who knew the couple, described the incident as bizarre, said, quote, "It's so stupid, so bizarre that I can't imagine that kind of behavior," end quote. Ooh, excuse me. And another neighbor, unnamed, said, "The police fellers must have been waiting for her. She pulled in and then all the cars came rushing out of every direction." And so she's arrested and charged with attempted murder and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and remains jailed without bond in the Brevard County complex. I'll tell you that right now. All right, so that's a doubleheader morning wine cellar. I'll go ahead and get these Father Muckers uploaded. And there was somebody that said they'd prefer for the episodes to just be longer and have all the stories consolidated. And then instead of having like short ones run through the RSS feed into their podcast feed. And that was on the Twitter. I forgot who, because there's a lot of tweets, especially of Phoenix Kaleeder. But that's what the Patreon-only shows are. The Patreon-only shows, there are significantly less, but they are significantly longer shows. They typically go over an hour, and they're fully produced. And you're probably not going to get more than two a week. You typically one or two a week of them. All right, so that's the Patreon only is where you would find that. And that's patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. And, of course, we always pass around the old tip jar or the, offering plate to the Wine Cellar congregation, paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. And, again, that shit, we use that shit, right? Like, I've been saying this a few times in the past few episodes, but it's like it's reached a point, you know, when you first start it, you're trying to cover cost, right? Like the $40 a month RSS feed to keep that with the high definition audio. The internet bill in general, you know, so that we can access these stories, so that we can interact and whatnot. You know, we get all that stuff done, you know, and then like helped us buy a website, you know, like that, you know, we had to do that. And then from there, like, that shit goes into real life. Like, after covering cost, now it's income. It's actually household income. You know, like, no shit. Like, we actually dig into the Patreon, you know, because the Patreon goes straight to the PayPal. And we have the PayPal debit card. And yeah, like, yesterday we went and got a pack of rolls of toilet paper. A couple days ago, I replaced a tube of toothpaste. Like, nigga, like, you're helping niggas brush their teeth and wipe our asses. Like, we actually really do need this income, and folks really do hold it down, and it helps out a great deal. It actually helps with our household. Thank you, and please be as safe as possible wherever you is be and whatnot. All right? I feel like playing with the soundboard for a minute. Let's turn up the beat and play with the soundboard. We got some funky stuff, man. I'll tell you that right now, man.
You got some great moves, Todd. You dance like a white man, and I love it.
Let's hear that one again. I like that one, man. That one's fun.
You got some great moves, Todd. You dance like a white man, and I love it.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
All right, that's an old one in the soundboard.
But nigga, you came up on me on some fuck shit, nigga. I don't make peace with niggas that come up on me on some disrespectful shit when I didn't even know you, nigga. It's you walked up on me and sat down your beer like, nigga, what's up? How gangster are you, cuz? Huh? I mean, how gangster are you, nigga? I'll show you how gangster I am, nigga. You can drop off your kid and run my face.
You ain't hearing it.
I mean, Jesus was a white man, too.
I'll give you until I finish me cuppa. And I'm fucking thirsty.
Yeah, buddy.
And we recognize mercenaries trying to pimp us out like that little bitch, Eminem, and his little wannabe thug pansies behind him who aren't real men who wouldn't take on the globalists like Donald Trump or anybody else.
Boy, just be yourself. If people don't like you, if you're being yourself, fuck them!
You are the goddamn whitest person I've ever seen.
I don't know, man. That doesn't seem woke. And I'm woke as hell.
Christians out of the military. And we talked, we played the soundbite yesterday from Robert Oscar Lopez saying, look, what the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell has done is it's opened the door for these hyper-masculine homosexuals to come into the military, very similar to the kind of masculine ideal of the warrior in Greek culture, and they were homosexuals, those that were, the masculine ideal in Greek was the Greek warrior. He was a homosexual. They would often have young boys as their homosexual lovers. And you would have these homosexual couples that would fight together. The 300 at Sparta, that movie was made about them. They were 150 pairs of homosexual lovers. So there's a military tradition that's connected to homosexuality. And it's also connected to fascism.
They will get up every day. They will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC.
You're very beautiful.
I know.
Why do you smell so good?
Because I don't use deodorant and I only take bubble baths.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
He came, Otis. Your words made him come.
If you're going to do drugs tonight, remember to buddy up and look after one another. Let me get you some condoms.